Welcome to Crossroads, the broadcast ministry of Montgomery's First Baptist Church, where you can discover God's personal plan and power to conquer your problems through Jesus Christ. Join us now as God's Word heals, encourages, and enlightens your spiritual life.
If you would, please find in your Bible Luke chapter 23. And we'll add to that this piece of paper entitled, remember, it is all about the cross. It's all about the cross. I had an instructive story come my way about a husband and a wife who were arguing over who should make the coffee in the morning. And as they were arguing, she finally said, "Honey, the Bible says that it's the man's job to make the coffee." He said, "Darling, you got to be kidding. That's ridiculous. The Bible doesn't say anything about a man making coffee." She says, "Oh, yes, it does. Look here." She turned over in the New Testament and said, "It's written right here, he brews." Yeah. Well, I always admire people who have a biblical worldview. In other words, you use the Bible as the lens through which you see life. And that's the way you want to live. Now, here's what we're going to do. We're going to look at the cross and the empty tomb. As a matter of fact, make that note. Today, we've come here to look at the cross to prepare for the empty tomb. Here's what I've discovered, friends. I don't know what you're dealing with today. Maybe it's a family problem. It may be a financial problem. It may be a health issue. Maybe you've got a child that's breaking your heart. Maybe you've made some big mistakes and you feel like God's given up on you and even set you aside. I want to help you. You see, the twin towers of the Christian faith would be the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And no matter what you're dealing with, no matter what you're going through, if you will stay tied to the cross and the empty tomb, it's going to be okay, because the real message of the cross and the empty tomb is Romans 8:28. God can work all things together for good for those who love Him, serve Him, and are called according to His purpose. If God can take the cross, this bloody, brutal executioner's tool, and turn it into an empty tomb, that means His power is bigger than your problem. So whatever you're facing today, face it with a sense of faith and confidence as we look together at the cross, the ultimate symbol of God's love for us. What we want to do is come now to Luke 23. We'll begin here in verse 25, because the goal is to walk with Jesus to the cross. It says in verse 25, "And Pilate released the man that they were asking for, who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, but he turned Jesus over to their will." Verse 26, "And when they led Jesus away, they laid hold of one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming in from the country, and placed on him the cross to carry behind Jesus. And there were following him a great multitude of people and of women who were mourning and lamenting him. Jesus, turning to them, said, 'Daughters of Jerusalem, stop weeping for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the day is coming when they will say, blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed. Then they will begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in the green tree, what will happen in the dry?' And two others also, who were criminals, were being led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right, the other on the left. Jesus was saying, 'Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing.' They cast lots, dividing up his garments among themselves. And the people stood by, looking on. And even the rulers were sneering at Jesus, saying, 'He saved others, let him save himself, if this is the Christ of God, his chosen one.' The soldiers also mocked Jesus, coming up to him, offering him sour wine and saying, 'If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself.' Now there was also an inscription above him saying, 'This is the King of the Jews.'" Let's pray for a moment. Dear Father, we stand on sacred ground. And as we look at your cross today as we think about how you demonstrated your great love for us, and that while we were still sinners, you died for us on that cross. Father, I pray that you would bring us to a point of full spiritual attention. Get me out of the way. Release your Spirit so that your Spirit might take your transforming truth and deposit it into every receptive heart. And I pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen. On several occasions, I've gone to the Holy Land. And if you go there, you walk through the narrow streets of Jerusalem and you follow a path that's marked on all of the walls of the city. It's called the Via Dolorosa. The word via in Latin means way. Dolorosa means the way of pain and suffering. And so today I want to be your tour guide. And to prepare for the empty tomb, I want to take you to the cross. Let's make our first stop. Number one, my name is Barabbas. Would you make that note? My name is Barabbas. You see, there was an election between Jesus and a man named Barabbas. It was the custom of the day that during Passover, a prisoner would be released from the jail. And so Pilate, thinking that it was certain that Jesus would be the winner of that election, a popularity contest, put Jesus and Barabbas in front of the people. And to his shock and chagrin, do you know what happened? Jesus lost a popularity contest to a criminal. And Barabbas was set free. I want you to activate your imagination for a moment and think about what happened to Barabbas. Now, he is fully anticipating that he will be executed in the most brutal manner imaginable. He will die on a cross that day. No doubt, he didn't sleep the night before. No doubt, he is sweating profusely. No doubt, his heart is pounding. It's pulsating with the anticipation of this brutal execution. And he hears walking down the hallway of his dungeon the hobnail boots of the Roman soldier coming to get him. I can imagine he presses back in the corner of the cell, and then the door swings open. And to his utter shock and amazement, the jailer says, "Barabbas, you are free to go." No doubt he's stunned by these remarkable words. Free to go? What do you mean? He said, "Follow me." And in your imagination, go with Barabbas out to the edge of the city and see the soldier pointing at three crosses on a hill called the Skull, and hear him say, "Barabbas, do you see that man on the middle cross? His name is Jesus, and he is dying in your place." Can you imagine what that have felt like? Well, frankly, it shouldn't be foreign territory, because here's the reality. I'm Barabbas. You are Barabbas. You see, Jesus died in my place. He died in your place. So the first thing I want you to understand is my name is Barabbas. I wonder what happened to Barabbas. The Scripture never tells us. We don't know that if he returned to a life of rebellion and self-defeating behaviors, or did he summon his faith and live a life worthy of the sacrifice? You see, here's the great truth, friends. Eternal life in Christ is God's gift to you. What you do with your life is your gift back to God. So our names would be Barabbas today. And understand that God has done something extraordinary for you, and he wants you to live for him. Let's go to number two. The second stop on the tour is the Savior is tortured. The Savior is tortured. The Scripture says that Jesus is being taken away to be crucified, but before he is crucified, he was scourged. Now, we don't have a picture of what it means to be scourged, but there's one taken in Isaiah 53, verse 3. Let me give it to you. 700 years before Jesus was brutally beaten, there in the fortress of Antonio in a place called the Gabbatha, God allowed Isaiah the prophet to see what he would experience. And he writes, "He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering, familiar with pain, Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised and was held in low esteem. In other words, in the scourging process, Jesus was so brutally treated that when people saw him, they had to wince, they had to turn away. He was so cruelly brutalized. I've read a lot about what happened to Jesus in this process of crucifixion that was preceded by scourging. I remember as a young man, I was in a Sunday school class. I was a teenager. I was an eighth grade boy, and our Sunday school teacher was a guy named Dr. James Shepherd. Oh, he was a wonderful man, and I don't remember many of his lessons, but I do remember this lesson because he taught a lesson on the cross, and he did it from a doctor's perspective. Now, if you're a teacher of junior high boys, like Dr. James Shepherd, I commend you. I always tell people, if God calls you to go to Africa and be a missionary, say yes, but if he calls you to teach junior high boys, you better pray about it. That's a hard job. But he corralled our attention that day, and he mesmerized us as he talked about what it was to be scourged. And he said, boys, let me just tell you in the simplest terms, from a physician's perspective, they took two whips, and those whips were made of leather, and inside of the leather, there were pieces of bone and metal. And they were designed to claw the skin off of the back of Jesus. And he said it like this, they turned the back of Jesus into hamburger meat. And when he said that, I could never get that picture out of my mind. The back of Jesus for me became hamburger meat. And I want you to see, that's what Jesus experienced. That's what he endured. But he didn't have to do it. He had already told Peter, he said, put up the sword, Peter, because if I wanted to, I can call 12 legions of angels down here to protect me. That's 72,000 killing machines. You see, Jesus was not taken to the cross. He chose the cross. They didn't kill him. He gave his life as a willing sacrifice. And they tortured him brutally beyond imagination. Let's go to number three. The next stop is an encounter with an unwilling Good Samaritan. Simon of Cyrene became a cross carrier. We learn in verse 26 that Jesus had lost so much blood, he couldn't continue the journey, so he fell under the weight of the cross. It weighed up to 120 pounds. And here is Jesus stumbling, gashing his knees on the rough pavement. And they look at the crowd, and no doubt they find a big, burly guy, and they say, you, come over here. And I would imagine Simon did not want to be part of this deal. Cyrene is in Libya, modern-day Libya. It's 800 miles away. So this man has made an 800-mile journey to participate in the Passover, and now he's about to get blood all over him, and he will be defiled, and he can't participate. So you can be sure he did not want to do this. But he didn't have a choice. He was conscripted by a Roman soldier, and he said, get over here. And he put that cross on that man. And Simon becomes a picture of who I want to be. You see, I want to be a cross carrier. Isn't that what Jesus invited us to do? Look on your worksheet in Luke 9, verse 23. Jesus said to all of them, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. You see, Simon did something against his will, and every day that's what Jesus invites me to do, to go against my natural appetites, to go against my will, to not compromise, to be a person of love, purity, and serving. He invites me to follow him, to take up my cross, which is a synonym for surrender. You surrender yourself to his lordship and to his leadership, and you follow. And that's what we have pictured here. And that's what Jesus expects. Do you know what Simon did? He helped Jesus fulfill his mission. He literally helped him fulfill his mission of dying as the Savior of humanity. And when we pick up our cross every day, this invisible cross that says, Lord, I want to do your will, not my will. I want to be surrendered to your purpose. I will follow your leadership. Do you know what you're doing? You are helping Jesus fulfill his mission. And as you serve him, you bring others into his kingdom. You see, we're like Simon, the cross carrier. Go with me to number four. Number four, in verse 27 through 30, we see a strange word, and it's a surprising corrective word. And Jesus basically is allowing us to know that rejecting Jesus will bring hard times. These women are crying. They're lamenting. They see this tragedy unfolding in front of them. They see Jesus, who this wonderful, wonder-working, good man, who's only given the people love. He is beaten beyond recognition, and now they're going to execute him, and they are crying out in sympathy. And Jesus says something that's astonishing. He said, the greater tragedy is not his impending death. The greatest tragedy is missing your Messiah. You see, Jesus is boldly stating that the ones weeping really deserve a greater sympathy because they have rejected their Messiah. These are some of the same people that voted for Barabbas. They rejected Jesus. They chose a criminal over the Savior. And Jesus is warning them that when you do that, when you reject God's offer of grace, forgiveness, and love, you're signing up for hard times. The Scripture says it so clearly in Proverbs 13, 15, good judgment wins favor, but the way of the unfaithful leads to their destruction. My friends, always remember this. You see, there is a real heaven to gain. The cross becomes a bridge to heaven, and there is a real hell to be missed. And I would urge you to have a witness motivated by these two great truths. My witness is motivated by the joy of connecting to Jesus, but it's also motivated by the terror of judgment. Hell is real, and it's to be avoided at all cost. And that's what Jesus is saying to these people. God doesn't deliver all of his paychecks on Friday. You see, the Scripture says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, from that you're also going to reap. And if you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption and destruction. But if you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap eternal life. And that's what Jesus is saying here. Be careful. Oh, be careful. Don't reject the Savior because you do it at your own peril. Number five, now let's come to the place of the skull. In verse 33, it says, when they came to the place of the skull, the place of the skull. Oh, I've been there. It's an unforgettable location. It's an odd rock formation. And when you look at it, there are two indentions in this rock. And it looks like eye sockets. And there's a place for a nose and a jutting jaw where a rock outcrops. And it's large. And on the top of it, you can just envision three crosses. It's a place of the skull and the crossbones. That's a universal symbol for poison, for death. The skull there is an interesting word. The skull in Aramaic, and it's written actually in Aramaic, is Golgotha. That's where we get the word Golgotha. That's Aramaic for skull. The Greek word for skull is cranion. That's where we get the word cranial from. And the Latin is Calvaria. That's why we talk about Calvary. You're saying the place of the skull. Remember the first time in the 1980s, I went to Israel and I saw that place of the skull. That old hymn came to my mind at Calvary. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died at Calvary. And then I thought about mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty. Where? At the place of the skull at Calvary. Please refer one last time to your worksheet, because what happened at Calvary is this unimaginable transaction of salvation. It says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, God made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we could be made right with God. Friends, that's what happened here at the cross. You see, at the cross, the Lord Jesus, who is the infinite Son of God, received the infinite sin of humankind. I don't understand how all that can happen, but in just a small amount of time, in the same way, a person can compress a lot of information on a CD disc, a piece of plastic. You think if we can't figure out how to put a lot of information on a piece of plastic, God can't figure out how to condense all of our sin on the infinite, sinless Son of God? That's what happened. He who knew no sin became sin on our behalf. Why? So that we could be made right with God. That's what happened there. It's an amazing moment. It's the heart of the Christian faith. And it all happens at that poisonous place of the skull. And now we complete the tour with a final thought, friends. Tour's almost done, but let me share a last story. You see, what happened at the cross of Calvary is well depicted in what happened about 300 years ago at a church that was being built in Norway. And this church is now called the Church of the Lamb. You can visit it today. A worker was about to complete the steeple, which was a cross on the very top of a steep roof. The roof was made of slate, and the worker lost his footing right as he was completing the cross, and he tumbled off the roof. And right as he was plunging toward his death, almost 40 feet below, a shepherd had guided his flock of sheep into this narrow street. And that workman fell on a lamb, crushed a lamb, but saved his life. Don't you remember what it says in Isaiah 53, verse 6? All we like sheep have gone astray, each to his own way, and the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. And do you know what they did? Because that little lamb died to save that man, they erected, adjacent to the cross, a statue of a lamb. And to this day, that church is called the Church of the Lamb. You see, that's what the Lord Jesus has done on my behalf. He's done that on your behalf. He took the penalty of my sin. And that's why the last sentence is so important. Here's the conclusion. It is simple. He died for you, so live for him. He died for you, so live for him. Eternal life in Jesus Christ is God's gift to you. But what you do with your life becomes your gift to God. Well, let's pray. Father, help us.
Thank you for sharing worship with us. We trust God has used this broadcast for your spiritual growth and encouragement. If this ministry has touched your life, please let us know. If you'd like to share in the cost of this broadcast, you may send your gifts and support to First Baptist Church. Your partnership with us will help strengthen and extend this ministry and will be greatly appreciated. And remember, when you are at the crossroads, follow Christ.